Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you on board with us today as we face the issues. Let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. Multitudes of people face problems and issues and difficulties, challenges and questions, debates and dialogue based on some ideological bent, some philosophical or political ideology, or based on some denominational dogma. But may I remind you, the best approach is to face issues based on the authority of Scripture. What does the Bible say? How should we respond? Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And then in John 17:17, Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." It's the truth book, ladies and gentlemen. May I commend it to you? It's the inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. Multitudes today are reading out of some version or issue that is not the infallible, inspired, inerrant word of God. We've talked about that before on this broadcast. We'll do so in the future again about some of the translations or some of the versions, as they're called, of the Scripture. In fact, there are about 480 some odd, I believe the number is correct, translations, a version of the Scriptures today found in America and around the globe. And may I remind us, we need to be very, very careful if we're reading in the inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. But Jesus said, "Thy word is truth," speaking of the truth of the word of God. So let me encourage you, ladies and gentlemen, to have a biblical worldview. What does the Bible say? We need to be as Berean Christians, as someone preaches or teaches. See, is that what the Scripture says? Is that what God says? Is that true according to the word of God? So let me encourage you today, ladies and gentlemen, to place your faith and confidence and trust in God's word and not in man's word. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, this is a Q&A broadcast, question and answer. You're invited to call in. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear your opinions, your thoughts, and your philosophies on the issues that we talk about. It's always an exciting journey on this broadcast when you make the broadcast full and complete by your dialogue and discussion. You can do that by dialing 831-0917, 831-0917. That telephone number gets your call right through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can have dialogue and discussion on the issues. We're going to be talking about a multitude of issues today, but yet they're one. We're talking about today, the last days are here. The last days are here. And we see signs and indications of that on every hand. We're going to talk about just two or three of those indications and where we are in the declension in America and around the globe in relationship to the recognition that it's absolutely fulfilling the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God, that we're in the last of the last days. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm delighted to announce to you today that this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time, it's an outdoor power equipment company, dealership specializing in turnkey business packages. For individuals looking to own their own landscape business or the lawn care business, Tools for Time carries all of the equipment brands for homeowners like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time also has a full line of chainsaws and other what I call hurricane cleanup equipment that's on hand with a full staff and of men and those that are leadership there that will be able to help you answer, find the answers to questions that you have in relationship to the equipment needs for your home or family. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. It's where that huge glory flag flies, Old Glory. It is the red, white, and blue that's flying there. I believe that flag, I'm told, is about 40 by 80. It's about 165 foot off the ground. It is the benchmark, if you please. You find Old Glory, look at the foot of the Old Glory, and you find Tools for a Time. Or look them up online, toolsfortime.com. That's toolsfortime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, as we think about the subject the last days, I want to introduce it by just simply saying kudos to our president. I'm thankful that President Trump has canceled his planned White House meeting with the Taliban. With almost 20 years of the war in Afghanistan and the Islamic jihadists, our president was attempting to bring the long war to a conclusion. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm thankful for the effort, but listen very carefully. It's an impossibility to deal with an organization or a group of people or those that are bent and determined to destroy the life of others simply because of what they believe the Quran tells them to do. And that's exactly what takes place with Islam. Islam is not a typical, if you please, political group or a political process. Islam is a very dangerous, it is the most wicked, evil, intolerant organization or religion on the face of the globe. And yet, President Trump, I believe he had done so based on some good advice from others in relationship to what to do and how to respond to that and trying to bring the long war to a close. But ladies and gentlemen, we must understand, and our politicians must understand, and every area of leadership must understand, the Islamic jihadists are fighting because of the mandate of their demonic book called the Quran. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is just one part of what we'll talk about today. We're looking at the last days. The last days are here, and the Bible is very, very clear to give us indications and illustrations of what the last days will be like. And I've already had the privilege years past of research and writing two major books on the subject of Islam. One is Islam tolerant? And the answer to that is no. It's made up of 25 chapters, ladies and gentlemen, about 300-some-odd pages, I think 325 pages in relationship to that subject. And in that, I quote from their Quran. It's called the Noble Quran. And the Noble Quran is the only Quran that's revered by the Islamic scholars as being the authoritative, true word from Allah, as they call it, notwithstanding the fact that in the past 1,500 years, 1,500 years, it's been rewritten dozens of times, never mind the fact that they have left out multitudes of what were formerly considered words from Allah and replaced them with other surahs. That's S-U-R-A-H. We call them verses, but they're called surahs. You can call it S-U-R-A, S-U-R-A-H. Either one is the correct spelling, just like the Quran can be spelled with a Q or with a K, and both are correct. But let me just read you a few of the surahs out of the Quran before we get back to the conversation about our president and his calling off that meeting. And I believe he was right in doing so. They just took credit for the murder of, I believe it was 12 or 14 people in Afghanistan, proud of the fact that they blew them up. They behead people. They burn them alive. They blow them up, et cetera, et cetera. Surah 3151 says, "We shall cast terror." This is from the Quran. We, speaking of the jihadists, the Islamics, "we shall cast terror into the hearts of those who disbelieve," that is, non-Muslims. Surah 12191, "and kill them," that is, all non-believers, non-Muslims, "wherever you find them, kill them. Such is the recompense of the disbelievers, that is, non-Muslims." Surah 2193, "fight until there's no more disbelief in Allah." Surah 226, that is, Surah 2:216, I'm sorry. "Jihad," that is holy fighting, "is Allah's cause, and it is ordained for every Muslim." Ladies and gentlemen, do you realize that every Muslim, the only guarantee that they have from the Quran of being able to go to paradise, the term they use in the Quran, is by the jihadist act, by killing a Jew or a Christian, a non-Muslim. And multitudes, ladies and gentlemen, are trying to say that that is not so. We have the watered-down, mamsy-pamsy fake news in America today that says that Islam is not dangerous, Islam is tolerant, Islam is not bad. We need to embrace it. We need to, in fact, right now the Pope has formed a pact with the Islamics to bring in Islam and Catholicism together. And I could go into a lot of details of some of the other things he's done. We'll do that later this week because it's very, very serious of what's happening in the realm of Roman Catholicism under this present pope, and it is antithetical to anything that would even be close to being called Christianity or anything that would be close to called biblical truth. But ladies and gentlemen, the Quran is very, very clear in Surah 385, whoever seeks a religion other than Islam will never be accepted. And Surah 4:101, the non-Muslim Muslims are ever to you an open enemy. So, ladies and gentlemen, the point that I want to make in reading those quotes from the Quran and the surahs that I just read, it indicates that there's no interest in the part of the Islamics to ever do anything but to fight and kill. Ladies and gentlemen, that comes as a result of sin as found in the book of Genesis. Do you realize that it is a continuing battle between Isaac and Ishmael because Sarah told her husband Abraham to go in to her handmaid and have a child, and Hagar produced a child. That child was Ishmael. Ishmael and Isaac are in battle. It's the two half-brothers that's been in battle for some 4,000 years now, and that battle is not going to stop. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, the scripture says in Genesis chapter 16, speaking of Ishmael, which is the great-great-great-great-granddaddy of all Muslims today, the scripture says, and the angel of the Lord said unto her, speaking to Hagar, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, and it shall not be numbered for multitudes. Verse 11, chapter 16, Genesis. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. Verse 12, and he, speaking of Ishmael, will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. Ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what we see taking place today with Islam. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, we have those that in our educational system, we have those in our political arena, we have those that are on a global basis, and especially here in America now, where there's an embracing of Islam and saying that Islam is okay, we need to embrace them, we need to not offend them, etc. In fact, in our schools, there's a major indoctrination process taking place, ladies and gentlemen, from kindergarten through the university level, primarily in the kindergarten, elementary school, grade school, high school, etc., in the lower grade schools, from kindergarten through the 12th grade. There's a major indoctrination process that's taking place today that should be frightening to every Christian. We have, ladies and gentlemen, let me just read you an article here that I believe validates what I'm saying. Back to school, colon, this is the headline. Islamist indoctrination for U.S. kids. The new school year is upon us, and Access Islam, a program backed by the Department of Education, is under fire again, after being accused of being an Islamic indoctrination program. This program claims to educate school children about religious diversity, but it is specifically geared toward Islam. Let me just pause for a moment, ladies and gentlemen. I'm reading the article, the headline, Back to School, Islamic Indoctrination for U.S. Kids. We do not allow the Bible in the classroom. We'll talk about that further in this broadcast today. And the move to try to get Bible back in the public school classrooms. We do not allow Jesus in the classrooms. What would it be like if you had a course that's designed by the U.S. Department of Education where it insists that every public school teach the children about Jesus Christ, his virgin birth, his coming and dying on the cross, shedding his rich red royal blood for the sins of the world? How would you? What would the politically correct group say in relationship to that? Immediately, there'd be a hue and cry that that is separation of church and states being violated. Ladies and gentlemen, what's the difference between teaching Christianity in the public school and teaching Islam in the public school? If one is all right, the other should be. Listen to what this article further says. The program claims to educate children about religious diversity, but is specifically geared toward Islam. Children in grades 5 through 12 are required, hear that term, required, to learn about the five pillars of Islam, then asked to make posters about them, to read and interpret Islamic scriptures from the Quran, and provide examples of how Muslims implement these lessons into their everyday lives. In Virginia, students in the program were required to copy the Shahada. The Shahada, ladies and gentlemen, is the Islamic conversion prayer. It is the thing that is so dastardly harmful in our public schools, where they're required to memorize and to repeat the Shahada. This article says the Muslim Declaration of Faith, the Shahada, the Muslim Declaration of Faith, which declares there's no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his messenger, is the messenger of Allah. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know about you, but I'd come unglued if I had a child or a grandchild in that school, and that's being taught in that public school, paid for by public taxpayer dollars. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today the statement that I made at the outset, the last days are here. And we're seeing, ladies and gentlemen, this is one of the fragments of the different tentacles of what's happening on a global basis that is another indication of the last days having been having arrived and being upon us. Ladies and gentlemen, this article further says, New York students were shown videos of an Islamic terrorist jihadist justifying their attacks against Israel in a public school, ladies and gentlemen, in New York, showing videos of the Islamic jihadist in their terrorist attacks and then validating it and justifying it for their attacks on the nation of Israel and killing the Jewish people. In Massachusetts, students were given reading material funded by Arab states, such as Saudi Arabia, which advocates for Palestine, end quote. While these textbooks were being used in schools, there was a rise in the amount of anti-Semitic acts committed. Further, the article says, it should be noted that U.S. Department of Education backing Access Islam contradicts the United States stance on Islamic Israeli-Palestinian conflict. There is a certain point where education transforms itself, listen, into indoctrination. In this case, Islamic indoctrination. Many people have accused Access Islam of crossing the line. Ladies and gentlemen, Access Islam is a curriculum that's designed by, published by, put out by, printed by, written by the Islamic jihadists, now in the hands of the U.S. Department of Education, being dispersed and distributed across America for all of our public schools from the 5th grade through the 12th grade. Ladies and gentlemen, this goes on to say, many people have accused Access Islam of crossing the line based on the fact that no other religion, listen to this, no other religion is taught this thoroughly, if at all, in any American public school that is not viewed with a critical eye, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, I am extremely bothered by that fact. I'm extremely bothered by the fact that we have what should be alert, educated people in charge of our public school systems. But ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. Our textbooks have been absolutely infiltrated. Our textbook publishers and textbook authorship, for the most part, comes out of the LGBTQ, Planned Parenthood, and the Islamic jihadist venues and areas. And yet, and I am going to repeat a dogma that I have repeated for some 30 or 40 years now, I believe parents need to stand up, look up, listen up, and realize that the educational system is not an educational process. It is a brainwashing process. It is put in place to perpetuate what the socialist agenda for America happens to be. So, again, I go back and I give kudos to the president for backing out on that meeting and saying no to them. And, ladies and gentlemen, the standards that set up for any meeting with the Taliban in the future and has been presently is that there must be a willingness to come to the table and willingness to say that Israel has a right to exist and say that they will not terrorize and or have jihadist terrorism against Israel. They're unwilling to do that. Ladies and gentlemen, CARE, Council on American Islamic Relations, now have been bragging, they've been bragging that they have 5,200 candidates, 5,200 candidates, citywide, countywide, statewide, and nationally. 5,200 candidates running for public office in every political race possible across America for 2020. Now, listen to what I'm saying. We look at it on the basis, and in my book, Is Islam Tolerant? I talk about the fact that Islam will, generally speaking, in any city, any state, any community, any place that they are, they will be quiet and seem to be subdued until they get between 2 and 6%. At the level of 2 to 6%, any of those numbers in between, they'll start demanding halal food, that is what they call clean Islamic food, in the public restaurants, in the public schools, and in the governmental buildings where they have cafeterias or restaurants. They will then begin to demand that they be heard and seen. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Parviz Ahmed, which is here in Jacksonville, which is on the Human Rights Commission, was formerly the head of care for Florida, headquartered out of Tampa. And prior to his moving to Jacksonville and going into the political seclusion here in our city, representing supposedly the Human Rights Commission, the website for care out of Tampa, Florida, encouraged Muslims, Muslim everywhere. If you're walking down the sidewalk, someone spits on the sidewalk, you call a police officer, demand that he write up a ticket, and you say that they were spitting at you. That is the Muslim. And they also advocated in that same website at that time for the Muslims everywhere to run for public office, if it is nothing but dog catcher, to run for that office so that they could begin to have power in the political system. And we're watching that today. We're watching the political process where we are seeing the Islamics take a stand on the basis that they want to be heard, they want to be seen, and they want to have control. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the last days are here. And that's not a joyful thing for most to talk about. It's not viewed as a positive communication. But we must recognize that God talks about that in God's Word, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. And those perilous times, ladies and gentlemen, are upon us today. And it's very, very clear that when the word perilous simply means dangerous, dark, devastating, difficult days. And that's what the scripture says is taking place in our world today. Perilous times shall come. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. And it is very, very clear, ladies and gentlemen, some do not want to adhere to it. Some do not want to recognize it and admit that we are in the last of the last days, the dark, dangerous, deadly, difficult, devastating days. We see the last days also, ladies and gentlemen, and what we see taking place in the moral, ethical sense in America. We have plummeted in our nation today to the lowest level, morally, ethically, biblically speaking, of any other time in the history of the United States of America. We're watching today the final throes of the moral restraints being thrown aside, jettisoned off, and anything goes. And that's being pushed today, ladies and gentlemen, by the LGBTQ community. The sodomite movement today is dominant in our culture. It's destroying our churches. It's demonizing Christians. And that's exactly their agenda. Ladies and gentlemen, there are a lot of folks today that ask the question, recently had someone ask, well, how is it that being such a small number, such a small percentage of people, and the same thing, ladies and gentlemen, it's a small percentage as we see it in the Islamic community, but nevertheless, they are dominating in political and societal agendas that they're carrying out. It's because for years they have networked behind the scenes and getting things accomplished, and the same is true for the LGBTQ. I enjoy reading books. I've got about 13,000 volumes in my personal library. I enjoy research and writing. I enjoy publication and getting books out that I believe are imperative for the general public to see, read, and understand things that are taking place. But I've got one of the books in my library. It's called The Homosexual Agenda. And it was written in 1978. And they outlined in that book in 1978 how they would network behind the scenes over the years to ultimately have accomplished what their agenda is, and that is to dominate the church, to absolutely force the church to embrace and to approve and to agree with the sodomite lifestyle. Why are they doing that? They're doing that simply to feel that somehow, some way, their sodomite lifestyle style is okay. It's been legalized in America through sodomite marriages, and as a result of that, there are many Christians today, especially in the millennial age group, that will say it's okay because it's legal. Ladies and gentlemen, because it's okay doesn't make it because it's legal doesn't make it okay. God's word still says it's sin. God's word still says that the sin of sodomy will send one to hell. I recall just a couple, 2 or 3 years back, our marquee out on the front of the campus said that sodomites would die and go to hell unless they repent. And I was quoting 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10, which is very, very clear. And, of course, it gives a whole list of a total of 10 sins, lest they're confessed and repented of, will die and go to hell. But, ladies and gentlemen, I want us to understand that the sodomite agenda today, the LGBTQ agenda, is trying to dominate the culture and destroy the church and to demonize Christians. And that's exactly what they're doing. Would you have ever thought, ladies and gentlemen, that we would have a person running for the United States presidency that's an in-your-face, out-of-the-closet, sodomite, married to a sodomite. How would you like to have that as a president rather than being first lady, its first husband? Let that sink in for a moment. But yet that's what's taking place with Pete Buttigieg. Pete Buttigieg claims that he's a Christian. He openly challenges God's word as though he is the final authority now on God's word. He openly challenges Christians and their belief on what God's word says. He openly challenges the vice president because the vice president believes that abortion is murder, that believes homosexuality is a sin. And he openly challenges that, demeans the vice president publicly. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand the dangers that's taking place in our nation with Islam and with the LGBTQ sodomite agenda. And we're talking about other things, but knitting these together, we're talking about the last days are here. And the last days indicating perilous times, dark, dangerous, difficult, devastating days are here. In fact, going back to the thought of the Islamics coming in and taking over, ladies and gentlemen, may I tuck this in to go back to a thought just a moment ago. There's an article that says Silicon Valley, Sharia, that's talking about Sharia law, big tech pouring cash into Ilhan Omar's campaign. U.S. Representative Ilhan Omar, Democrat of Minnesota, has campaigned against Israel, supporting men accused of joining ISIS, trivializing the 9/11 by saying some people did something, and allegedly used campaign funds to pay for an extramarital affair. By the way, she married her brother, and her present husband has come forward now admitting that, telling the truth on that. She also wrote on Twitter, Israel has hypnotized the world. May Allah awaken the people and help them see the evil doings of Israel. So what companies are enthused about supporting the newcomer to Congress with a new term? Google is supporting her with mega hundreds of thousands of dollars. Apple is supporting her with thousands and thousands of dollars. And this article says yet another example in Silicon Valley, Sharia, and further evidence of the big tech social media companies are in bed with the radical left Islamic agenda for America, supporting Ilhan Omar's 2020 congressional campaign. She's already raised $1,400,000 in her campaign, most of it coming from Silicon Valley. Ladies and gentlemen, that should tell us where we are in the last days in which we're living in. So the last days, to summarize just for a brief moment and go forward, we're talking about the Islamic agenda. We're talking about the sodomite LGBTQ agenda and what's happening in America. And one of the things that's on the forefront with the sodomite agenda is Pete Buttigieg and his running for presidency of the United States of America. I would have never dreamed in my lifetime that there would be anyone that brazen, that flagrant, that immoral, that ungodly, that unholy, that would stand and openly talk about his lifestyle and talk about how, since he's been married to his husband, that he's been brought closer to God and that he has more sensitivity for the Word of God and that he loves the Lord more. And Jesus Christ means even more to him after his marriage to a sodomite, a man that's his husband. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in trouble in a nation when we find that being on the forefront and yet not being condemned by the media, not being condemned openly by multitudes of Christians and pastors that ought to take a stand and say something about it. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a station identification break and the top of the hour news. And right after that, about 1 minute, we'll be right back with you with the conclusion of Let's Face the Issues today.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.